Now in your Bibles, the 18th chapter of the Gospel recorded by St. Luke. We find these words in the 18th chapter and the first verse. And Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. In the 19th chapter of the book of Revelations, we read these words, verses 6 through verses 8. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clear and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. In yesterday's Wall Street Journal, there is a leading article, Rising Islamic Fervor Challenges the West, Every Muslim Ruler. The article talks about the sweep of Islam across so much of the world, and that so many of us in the Western world fail to understand the revival of that ancient faith. I was moved by the article because I was aware that I was coming to this wonderful prayer moment. And I have a great zealousness for our God. I have a great zealousness for our faith. And I cannot think of praying without at some point in my prayer uttering, Lord, send the revival. I do not permit those who join our church by faith Sunday after Sunday to delude me or cause me to feel that one or two churches being packed have somehow indicated that the revival has come. I still believe that the best is yet to be. These words, then, were given by Jesus after the 17th chapter of the Gospel recorded by Luke, where he talked about end times events, as it was in the days of Noah, marriage, selling, buying, building, secular values. So will it be in the coming of the Son of the Man, and will he find faith when he comes back to this earth? There must have been a great consternation on the part of the disciples, because having painted that realistic picture of end times events, they wanted to know who then would be saved. You notice in the 18th chapter that a bit later, Peter talked about leaving all to follow Jesus. And in that encounter, Jesus looked at the disciples and said, I tell you how the revival will come. Men, my disciples, my church, women and men, boys and girls who love me, must always pray and don't faint. My faith is not a tail light, it's a headlight. My gospel is not the gospel of defeatism, it's the gospel of victory. My religion is not for those who seek the low roads, but those like Abraham who seek the high roads. But there is a condition in my victory. There is a condition in my triumph. There's a condition in those who will really endure to the end. They must always pray and not faint. I don't have to tell you that there is a seduction going on in the faith today. There's a tremendous amount of compromise. There are so many who want Christianity with no sacrifice, with no struggle, with no shedding of tears and agonizing. They seem not to know the great prophecy of Joel, who said, "Come ye priests, howl ye prophets, lay before God. Let there be weeping and groaning and agonizing for the sins of my people." They seem not to know the call of Joshua. If you're going to follow the secular gods of a humanistic world, then go on out from the church and follow them. But if you're going to stay with those of us who are going to triumph and be a part of the bride who will march in on that great day and stand before the glorious white throne and be given in wedding to him who is our groom and hath paid for us by his blood on the cross, if you're going to be a part of that bride arrayed in glorious and flowing white linens, then you say with Joshua, "As for me and my house," I don't care what the pastor who may have 3,000 or 4,000 down the street may be doing. I don't care what popular religion may be doing. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I think that's the kind of faith we have here. And here comes Jesus speaking to some people who have heard him talk about wars and rumors of wars, domestic problems, economic upheavals, all kinds of calamities, and they are wondering, how will the revival come? And Jesus looked at them and said, "I tell you, men and women must always," not when you feel like it, not when you get in trouble, not when the church looks like it's rising up against you, "but you must always pray and not faint." Obviously, those of us who are here will have sin problems. There are those domestic and social problems we will not get around. There are husbands who may be married to ungodly wives who do not wish you well. Maybe you got called to preach after you got married and you got problems in your home and you're wondering how you're going to make it. Or you may be godly fathers and mothers ministering and here come teenagers wrapped up in drugs and minds twisted by the pervasive depression of our age. It troubles your domestic problems. And then there are those social encounters you have to face, disappointments from friends, and sometimes you wonder how the revival is going to come with all of the social calamities are going on. Then there are those economic deprivations. We out in a country that's getting a little better now, but there was the oil backslide. There were the farmers who lost much of their property and their capital. And I come from the urban area where many of the better factories have moved into more lucrative areas, and many have been displaced, and many have been forgotten, and many have been ignored. Economic upheavals, and you wonder how will the revival come. And then there are those religious problems where people you thought knew the Lord and were holy, and they turn out to be backsliders. They turn out to be demonic. And sometimes the ones who stab you the worst are those of your own household, those of your own family relationships. And I hear man saying to us, men and women will not always solve life's problems, but they must always pray and not faint. Look at Jesus. Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not, rejected by his own blood kin. Abraham looked forward to his day, and yet when his day came, they spat on him. Moses prophesied about his day, and he declared, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him will the people gather." But when he came, the people refused to gather. His own people refused to gather. And yet he says, men and women must always pray. Don't faint. That same Jesus was rejected by the temple. He who is the temple was rejected by the brick and mortar. He who is the Holy of Holies was rejected by the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders and the custodians of the house of God. But did he faint? No. Did he give up? No. Did he bow down his head? No. And I thank God for the Psalms that say to us who witness in this latter day, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? Therefore Jesus said, men and women, my church, the apple of mine eye, those I have courted and paid for with my own blood, those I intend to stand before God in that great good morning and be given in splendid marriage before the wedding feast is held. My church must not go around crying the blues, dragging your feet, talking about how bad things are, and who's trying to kill me and who doesn't like me. My church must always pray and quit fainting. That's good news. That's good news because I hear the Lord saying, the revival will surely come when my people constantly live in my presence. God's presence. God, the Bible says, is an ever-present help. God's present. Like television. It's in here, but you need the proper receptacle to get it. All kinds of UFH and other signals are going through. All kinds of television signals. But you got to have the right instrument. The difference between God's people and the world's people. God's people turn on. The world people turn off. Pharaoh thought that he was the power. He didn't know God is. There are a lot of devils today who think they got power. You go tell them they don't have any power. We live in the power of God. And we get our anointing from God. But we've got to constantly live in his presence. And we've got to take every advantage to tell men and women that Jesus is the light of the world. That's why he made us penetrators. Penetrators for revival. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are my witnesses. You are a royal people. You are a holy nation. You are peculiar. You speak in tongues. You shout. You lay on the floor. You get slain in the spirit. You do all kinds of crazy things. You're peculiar. You sometime fast and pray all night long. You get happy and shout. And folks think you're drunk on wine. You're not drunk. You just love the Lord. You don't need what man need to turn you on. Men need sports, races, horses, naked women, golf clubs, and other things to make them feel like somebody. But God's people can just get where a Bible is and where two or three gather in the name of the Lord and they feel all right. They don't have to have no rock and roll band. They are peculiar. And because they are peculiar, they are penetrators. You don't penetrate looking like everybody else. You don't penetrate talking secular like everybody else. You don't penetrate with this old cheap lukewarm gospel that doesn't convict the soul. You penetrate when you've been put up with the plowshares of the gospel and come like a bride from the burning. That's how you penetrate. You are my people. You penetrate. But you got to live in my presence. You're like Elijah. Ahab and Jezebel thought they had it because they had their fine marble castle and was drinking out of their silver bowls and had attendance and their 400 false prophets who ate at their table who didn't know anything about the glorious power of an omnipotent God. And yet God raised up a desert fire brand. He looked like an Assembly of God preacher. Hallelujah. Old Elijah came up one day and told Ahab, it's not going to rain. And he became Israel's public enemy number one for 3 long years and had to leave the glorious splendor of Ahab's powerful and economically prosperous regime and go down and live in the gullies of the Negev desert. But God was with him. And I tell you, brother, I'd rather have God's presence than to be wrapped in material comfort and don't have His Holy Spirit. Because when my heart beginning to feel better this morning, when my heart is overwhelmed, I want to feel His presence. When the devil is on my trail, I want to feel somebody. When men and women don't treat me right and misunderstand who I am, all I want to know is what He said. I'm with you. And isn't it good to know when He spoke to us and sent us out 2 by 2 or however, He didn't promise us gold, silver. He didn't promise us 5 cars or 5 houses, but He did say, lo, I'm with you. I'm with you. Is He with you? Do you feel His presence? Can you say He walks with me? Can you say He's with me when I'm on my knees crying out to Him? Is He with you when the devil is on your trail? He was with David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's with me. And the beautiful thing is, this beautiful Saturday morning, when we gather in this conference in the last quarter of the 20th century, He's still God. He doesn't need no help from anybody. He's God all by Himself. Maybe you didn't know it. He woke us up this morning and started us on our way. And He's got the blood running warm in our veins. I love Him this morning. He's alive. He's alive! Glory to God, He's alive. He's alive. His presence. God sent old Elijah on down there and fed him by a raven. And then after being down there, He said, now I'm going to give you some physical comfort and let an old woman take care of you in Zarephath and sit him on down there. And she was about ready to die, but when the Lord's man come in, life comes in. Glory to God, and hallelujah, the meal didn't run out, and the oil didn't run out, and then the little boy of the woman got ready and died, and that man of God went upstairs because he had God's presence, prayed for him, didn't give up, kept on praying for him. Men ought always pray. Little boys are dying in every community of America. We need some Holy Ghost Pentecostal preachers. And I want to say here, regardless of denomination, who will lay faith on these boys and lay faith on these girls and stay there. Stay there till life come back in. They're dying on drugs, dying on liquor, dying on cheap music, dying on godless parents, dying on schools that have denied the authority of Almighty God. But we know where the power is. Power is in God. Oh, I admire you for staying with this book. I admire you for staying with the Lord. I admire you for your doctrine of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. I admire you for it. There is no other way. Yes, the revival will come when we stay in His presence. And it will come when we stay in His passion. Who want an old religion? You never feel nothing. My God, go to church, don't feel nothing. Nobody cry, nobody lift their hands, nobody say, just go in dead and come out dead. I don't like that kind of religion. Everywhere a revival breaks out in the church, somebody says something. Broke out on the day of Pentecost and somebody said something. Somebody shouted it. Somebody spoke in tongues. And I want to tell you, God hasn't changed His program. Wherever revival breaks out, there got to be passion. The Bible said this is a love relationship. I don't know, maybe some of you haven't smiled at your wife or wife to the husband a little while, but you used to smile. And if you love that wife, you ought to still smile. And I heard one preacher one day say, if you're not smiling in the right place, chances are you might be smiling in the wrong place. And in these days when God is judging us and shaking us out, it's good to smile in the right place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, if you're in love with God, you'll smile. If you're in love with God, you'll preach till you sweat it out. If you're in love with the Lord, you'll sing till you sing it out. I'm talking about love. You can't be in love without showing some passion, which leads me to say the revival will come when the church realizes that she is the bride of Christ. I'm just a servant at New Shiloh. I am not the quarter. I am the courthead. The Bible said Jesus came and loved us so much, took us up like Hosea picked up Gomer from the list of prostitutes. We were on our way to hell. According to Romans 1 and 2, we had despised everything of God, the law, the prophets, and God had given us up with a reprobate mind. But Jesus said in the Godhead, lo, I come, my Father, to do thy will. Give me a body. And the Bible says the Lord came down and loved us even when we were enemies, loved us even when we were sinners on our way to hell. He loved us so much that he married us, that is to say, paid for the marriage. The ceremony is yet to take place. He paid for the bride on Calvary. We belong to the Lord. Oh, praise God, Lord, send the revival. When I see that, I see a new thrust, Dr. Carlson. For a long time, the church has been deceived, thinking we could do it, but God got to do it. We need literature, we need training, we need retreats, we need camps, but unless the Lord blow, there will be no wind. Unless the Lord send the fire, there will be no fire. Which means the bride ought to smile because she has been selected. You may be ugly to the world, but to the Lord, you pretty. The world may say you don't look like anybody, but to the Lord, you are altogether lovely. Maybe you call me this or that, but I am somebody because the Lord has done good things for me. Like the black slave, I can say I got a robe and you got a robe and all of God's children got a robe. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to put on a new robe and going to shout all over God's heaven. Now, I don't care what you say about me. I'm somebody. The Lord loves me like the little girl, I can say, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tell me so. Little ones to him belong. The world is weak, but my God is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tell me so. Now, hallelujah. We're not only the bride, but we are courted. Oh, glory. When you're courted, praise the Lord. You know a wedding is coming, and you send out invitations. Now, that's how we get in on the revival. That's how we get in, do our part. The Assemblies of God is sending out invitations through foreign missionaries, through preachers in the pulpit. We are telling men and women, all things are ready. Come on to the feast. That's an invitation. Hallelujah. Every time you witness and testify, you are telling a dying world a great day is coming. A big wedding is coming. A real program is coming. You don't need any money. You don't need any gold or silver. But just as I am, without one plea, you can come on. Now let me turn this thing over and look at it another way. In weddings down here, we go out and get our tuxedos and we get our right colors on the part of the women, get shoes in order and everything. But it ain't gonna do no good over there. You got to have a different outfit on. I see Jesus one day saying, when the marriage came, he walked around and he saw a young man was in there with the wrong garment on. And he said, young man, how did you get in here? And he said, I heard at
the last minute that a big wedding was taking place, and I sneaked in with the crowd, and I thought I could come in, since nobody told me I didn't have to come in. Did you go to church? Did you hear the gospel? Did you go to prayer meeting? Did you accept Christ? No, I didn't do that, but I saw the crowd, and I snuck in, and Jesus said, cast them out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So every time you get a chance, give out the invitation. Every time you get a chance, throw out the lifeline. Every time you get a chance, tell somebody you've been married one time, but you're going to get married another time. God's getting the revival ready for that great getting up morning. Hallelujah. That leads me to tell you one more thing. Praise be to God. A real bride does not wait till the day of her marriage to get the right garment. A real bride does not wait till the day of her marriage to get her things in order, to get prayed up, to get fixed up, to get everybody attention. She waits not till the last day, but she gets oil in her lamps. A few weeks ago, a big wedding occurred in our church, New Shiloh. Everybody was there. The church was packed. And here come the young man. And I always give them instructions by letter. Have the secretaries call them, meet in council. And first thing he said, well, I believe my bride-to-be got him. I said, you better get him in a hurry, brother, because I'm not going to get in trouble with the state. No, no, without any license, no marriage. And he knew he didn't have them license, and he sent out there to the young. She didn't have them. Church full of people, a man and a woman, no lie. I said, the only thing I can do, and I don't always do this, I've had it happen twice. And I think that's enough. I said, we'll go out and sing and pray. I don't think you ought to ever let people go away without singing and praying. They may come for the wedding, but you ought to lift up Jesus. Hallelujah. Get them in there. Don't let them leave without Jesus. And I got a prayer in, and I told them, now this ain't a wedding. This ain't it. I said, what I am going to do, I'm just going to sing and pray and ask God to be with them. But when we get some license in my office, after council, we'll have the marriage. Now we're having church every Sunday. Are we getting ready for the marriage? Which leads me to say the revival will come not only when we live in His presence, when we live in His passion, but when we live in His power. My God, Lord, send the revival. The power is not of us, but it be of God. And in these dark and dreary days, we need power. Hallelujah. When the devil is moving, we need somebody who can move the heart of God. We've got enough of these people who are church members but are not members of the body of Christ. Church members can't move anything. But I want to tell you, those who know the Lord can move His heart. And every pastor needs somebody who can get a hold of God. Hallelujah. And move the heart of God. When storms are raging, you need power. When the devil is on your trail, you need power. When you're trying to witness to a dead and dangerous world, you need power. And I want to tell you, it's not by might, it's not by human power, but it's by God's Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now that's why I encourage you to study that 18th chapter of the book of Luke. It's got so much power in it. There is that old woman who has been taken advantage of, but she had power. Not a college graduate, not a socialite, but she knew how to shake the heart of God. And Jesus said she went to the judge and he was unjust and the judge would not be moved. But that old woman did have no more sense than to keep telling him, aggrieve me of my problem, aggrieve me of my adversary. And then the unjust judge said, I'm tired of this woman. I'm going to give her justice. And Jesus said, you don't have no unjust God. You got a loving God. And if you got trouble, take it to the Lord in prayer and he will hear your problem. And I tell you first, the revival will come when we persevere. Then Jesus said, I tell you second, the revival will come when you are humble and sincere in your heart. He said, two went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee. And oh God, don't let the assemblies become Pharisaical with their growing churches and with their budgeting budgets and with all of their popularity. Bring them down, Lord. Humble them so you can get the power out of their lives. God doesn't work with you if your heart's too high. You got to humble yourself. yourself. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. I tell you, when you get low with God, God will raise you up. When you humble yourself with God, God will pour out His Holy Spirit, of His Holy Spirit, upon your flesh, and the devil got to go. Doors will open. The power of God will come down. Hallelujah! 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 And then Jesus said, number three, I tell you, the revival will come when there is love. Young man, come up to Jesus saying, I know all of the law and I want to be your disciple. And Jesus said, go sell what you have, give to the poor, you can be my disciple. But he didn't surrender all. He wanted earthly mammon. He wanted the world. And the Lord saw him go away. And the Bible said Jesus loved him. Loved him, loved him, but he loved the world more than the love of the Lord. Jesus loves us, and I tell you, when we give our heart to him, we don't have to be foolish like the Apostle Peter, who said, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. What a foolish question. My mama was rich, and my daddy had this, and look what I'm making as a preacher. What a foolish thought. What a foolish thought. You got grace in God. You got love in God. You got the Holy Ghost in God. You got the power of his presence in God. You got the sweet singing of the angels all night and all day in God. You got the rhythm of the Holy Spirit deep down in your bosom in God. You got the Holy Word, a lamp to your feet, a light to your pathway in God. You got shouts in God. You got praise in God. You got power to overcome the devil in God. You got the blood that was shed on Calvary to wash away your sins in God. But that's not all. You got resurrection in God. Hallelujah. You may die, but I will tell you, in Christ, you're going to live. And then that's not all. You got the heavenly home in God, which brings me to my climax now. One of these old days, I don't know how long it's going to be, but I'm waiting on it. One of these old days, the saints going to go marching in. Praise God. Now, some of you may be so much in love with America that you're not looking for that great day. But I'm looking for another day. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I'm looking for another day. Oh, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. That's why the Bible said, blessed are they who received the invitation. It's in here. I read it to you. And have been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can't you see yourself there with palms of victory in your hand? Can't you see? Praise be to God. You know the groom does not see the bride until wedding day. And oh, I want to see him. I want to look upon his face. That to reign forever in his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. My cares all past. I'm home at last, ever to rejoice. I want to see him. And I see my God, the church standing before the holy altar of Almighty God, and here comes the groom, and our hearts in those brand new bodies will swell with praise, and here comes the Holy Spirit to perform the glorious marriage supper of the Lamb, and the Holy Spirit presents from the Father who gives the church unto the Son, and we are wedded forever and ever, and the Bible said we will sit down at the welcome table and feast on milk and honey. Glory be to God, and the angel will say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and power and wisdom and righteousness and praises be unto our God. How long? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Are you on your way? If you're on your way, just raise your hand and say, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Thank you for your power! Thank you for your grace! Thank you for your mercy! Hallelujah!